You're listening to the Humans of DevOps podcast, a podcast focused on advancing the humans of DevOps through skills, knowledge, ideas, and learning, or the SKIL framework. Here's your host, DevOps Institute CEO, Jane Grohl.
Hi, everyone. It's Jane Grohl, CEO of the DevOps Institute, and welcome to another episode of the Humans of DevOps podcast. I'm particularly excited because, as you know, the episodes this month are focusing on a trending pattern on a practice known as observability. And today, I'm very excited because we have Siddharth Parikh, who is not only going to talk to us about domain-oriented observability, but also bring an enterprise perspective to the discussion. Hi, Siddharth. Welcome. Why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself?
Hi, Jane, good day. Hi, hello, everyone. My name is Siddharth Parikh. I'm based in New Delhi, India. So I'm working for NatWest Group, and our group is Bank of Brands. If you've heard of NatWest Bank, NatWest International, Royal Bank of Scotland, Ultra Bank, Coats Bank, are all under the bigger umbrella of the NatWest Group. So I work as the DevOps Center of Excellence Global Leader for NatWest Group.
Fantastic. So, you know, as you know, the concept or the practice known as observability, the interest in observability has suddenly become a buzzword in DevOps, particularly as it relates to operations, SRE. It's been a pattern in the software world for quite a while. And now we're talking about domain-oriented observability. Tell us a little bit about the correlation. Tell us a little bit about your opinion on why observability has certainly become of enterprise interest.
Why observability has become is observability has been since ages in different form and shape in the organizations, in the research, in the software design patterns. Why it has gained importance is because till now what we were talking about was we were talking about monitorings and alertings, but that was specific to the technical aspect of the applications and systems. But those monitorings and toolings were not bringing out the business aspect of the monitoring and alerting. And what I mean by saying this is that business does not want to hear across the CPU utilizations or the server utilizations. What they really want to hear across is how much failure has happened when the customer payment section, you know, for example, or for how long duration was the customer there in the session while buying the products on the e-commerce website. And hence, we want to move from the technical aspect to the business aspect. And hence, observability plays a role. So in short, if I'm observable, then I can monitor you.
Well, and that's interesting because you're right. Monitoring, I'm an old IT director. Monitoring was very much, first of all, very reactive. And second of all, very component or very discrete in terms of what was being monitored. And observability has a big external piece. And so talk a little bit about domain-oriented observability. Can you give us an idea of what that specifically means?
Okay. To explain that, let me give you a brief about the history before I ponder upon the domain observability. Was the observer aspect or the pattern has been since ages in the software design per se. And for example, the observer pattern has been one of the well-known gang of four design patterns in which an object called the subject maintains a list of its dependents called the observers. And then it notifies them automatically of any state change, usually by calling one of their methods. The problem that this pattern was trying to solve was that in large monolithic design were not able to scale well as new graphing or monitoring requirements were levied. And thus, this pattern was identified and introduced. Now, as per Google, the observability is tooling or a technical solution that allows the team to actively debug their systems. So observability is based on exploring the properties and patterns, not in definite ones. Now, if you let's go back to history, observability isn't a new term, but it was first introduced by an Hungarian engineer known as Rudolf Kalman for linear dynamic systems in mid-90s and mid-60s, for which he actually received the Medal of Honor too from the Institute of Electrical and Electronic Engineers, which is popularly known as the IEEE. Now, coming back to the question of the domain-oriented observability. So in 2019, one of the observations which was made on Martin Fowler's webpage by a gentleman named as Pete Hodgson talked about domain-oriented observability. He said that when it comes to observability, the SMEs get too technical. Something which I was talking about earlier between technical and business. And they mess up their codes and design in order to introduce them. So there needs to be a pattern which is cleaner and give us the leverage to add business relevant observability. So some call the domain oriented observability as the practice of observing one system using the ubiquitous language of your domain.
And so that's very interesting because, again, bringing the business into this, and I think in IT, you know, we're pretty young as an industry goes or as a business unit goes. I mean, if you think about it, we're what, 40, 50 years old, maybe, right? And so up until this point, I think a lot of the observations, no pun, right, have been about, we've been very IT-centric. We've been very technically oriented, and we're not really looking enough at the business drivers that are delivering value. And, you know, and I know certainly when we look at where we are today, this becomes pretty important. So are these patterns in concrete being solutionized for programmers at the moment? Is it only about ops, or does it have a strong developer relationship too?
The domain-oriented observability talks about the dev aspect more. Because that's where the journey of the applications or service starts. So to answer your question, whether they are have been any concrete solutionizing done, yes. So for example, in terms of language like JavaScript, we have domain-oriented observability for it. If you talk about language like C#, we have the implementations done by the the researchers and the community for it. So yes, it's just not the pattern or framework. There has been solutions or implementations in place for it too.
And so does it replace monitoring? I don't think it does, but there's a piece of it, right? So what is the relationship to monitoring?
See, as I said earlier also, and I'll make it short, that if I'm observable, then I can monitor you. So what happens is, at one end, we are improving our monitoring tools from Nagios to now we have, age-old tools like Ansible, Chef, Puppet, and other things. But the important thing is you are bringing new monitoring tools. But are you improving the observability of your application, of your service? If that is not the case, how rich tools you bring in for monitoring, the end goal will not be achieved. So again, in short, yes, the more it becomes observable, the better the monitoring becomes.
I absolutely agree with that. And I think that there's a shift, right? There's a paradigm shift that's as much cultural as it is technical. Can you talk a little bit about the culture of observability, particularly, inside your own environments? What is the cultural change from an enterprise perspective needed for observability?
One of the things that is needed is you should stop talking on lunches and your meals or dinners that your server or your CPU or your high capacity utilization of network bandwidth to your business people. You should talk to the business folks in the language in which they understand. You tell them that, you know, coming back to the previous example which I talk about, that this month you had 0% payment failures that happened on the portal. You had customers spending more than, you know, 100% of the duration on this website than they did previous year. You had increase in, for example, the access of the catalog on your portal more than what it was earlier. And that, to bring that language in picture, you need to change your thought process. You need to change your technologies. You need to change your process. And you need to share your observability.
That's interesting, too, because, you know, we've been trying to achieve that for a very long time in IT, where we would have business speak, as even internally, right? Not even just speaking to the business, but speaking to each other in business speak more than about CPU or, looking at networks or looking at cloud, right? Looking at the technical aspects of it. But it doesn't come naturally to a lot of IT organizations because it is part of our culture. So I guess the question is, what can organizations do? And maybe it's something that you guys have done already. What can we do to help IT think in those terms, speak in those terms? And then, of course, if you think and speak, then hopefully you'll act, thinking in the same way that the business people do. I mean, think about this. If you were in marketing and you were talking to the business leaders, you would likely speak a lot of the same language. If you were in sales, right, you would likely speak a lot of the same language. When I was in IT, one of the reasons IT didn't have a seat at the executive table for a very long time is because we didn't understand. So what are some, so I'm going to ask you two questions. In simpler words, can one achieve domain-oriented observability? And how can we help it isn't even just behavioral, sort of, it's more of a mental or mentality. How do we get IT thinking and speaking and therefore acting the way that we want to? So it's really two parts of the same question, I guess.
Okay. So to answer first question, how can one achieve domain-oriented observability? Now, when you talk about observability, it is very broad in scope. You know, it talks about from low-level technical metrics through to high-level business key performance indicators. Now, on the technical end of the spectrum, we can track things like memory, network, thread counts, garbage collections, and blah, blah, blah. On the other hand of the spectrum is our business or the domain metrics that we're talking about, which, you know, might track things like, you know, which I've talked about, the card abandonment rate or the session durations or the payment failure rates. Because these higher level metrics are specifics to each system, they usually require hand-rolled instrumentation logic. Now, this is in contrast to your low-level technical instrumentation, which is more generic and often achieved without much modification to a system's code base beyond, let's say, perhaps injecting some sort of monitoring agents at boot time. Now, it is also important to note that your higher level product-oriented metrics are more valuable always by definition because they are more closely reflect that the system is performing towards its intended business goal. So by adding the instrumentations that track these valuable metrics, we achieve domain-oriented observability.
And could the instrumentation then, when it's producing its logs or when it's producing whatever output, could it be framed in business terms as opposed to technical terms? Is that a way that we can train IT to use the same language? And again, I've seen enough monitoring logs over the course of my career to know not always so, right? It's not always so that the logs or the evidence that comes out is not IT-centric. But have you ever seen that? I mean, how do we get there?
The answer is a bit technical in nature. So I would say that, generally what happens is when you are designing your systems, what generally you do is you try to instrument the code, for example, involving a vendor's library to your dependencies and then calling those libraries directly into your code. Now, in that case, what happens is your code becomes less reusable.
Right.
Now, for this, there have been a lot of solutionizing that has been done. There was a gentleman known as Tyler Treat, which said, let's have a solution involving your centralized inter-process collections. Then there was another researcher, Pete Hodson, who, brought this term domain-oriented observability. We say, let's have abstracting collections in the process. So they found out that there is a simpler within-process approach that is easier for the devs to understand, to test, to configure, to maintain, and to operate. And it is the fusion of that describes by having your event-based observability and collecting the instrumentation context. In business terms, what it happens is that when, for example, if I pick up an example of Netflix. So what Netflix done in their learning phase of observability was that they said they understood that storing your raw applications logs won't scale up.
Right.
So to address the scalability, what Netflix did was they switched from streaming the logs and filtering them on some selected criteria. So transforming them in more memory and persisting them as needed. Point two, what Netflix did was, they said that our observability tools needs to access various persistent data types. Now, choosing which kind of database to store a given data type depends on how each particular data type is returned and retrieved. The third thing what Netflix did was that beside analyzing their logs and request traces, they included metrics for observability as well. So they didn't wanted metrics for your CPUs and all. They said, let's have metrics for our observability as well. So for example, by exploring the matrix anomaly detections and metrics correlation, they learned how to define actionable alerting beyond just the threshold alerting.
But it gave them a learning path, right? It gave them, we talk about machine learning, now we talk about human learning, right? But it gives the insight. I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Were you going to add something to that?
No, absolutely. So when you said how could business be involved in observabilities, so they said that we would, how would be involved is, let's have metric systems for observability and agree with business. That was one thing. Then they said that we do not want to, dump our logs and traces into the conventional modes of, the text files and other files, but we would filter those logs at the runtime. So only though runtime, basis on the runtime queries, the logs will be shared or saved. So that agreement also did happen with the business. Thank you.
Thank you. Because again, this is the type of tangible information I think that particularly those that are new, whether you're a developer, because you're right, developers today need to know how to write their code, they need to know how to build their code, they need to know how to test their code, secure their code, deploy it and operate it. And so having that ability to observe And you know, it's funny, I looked up the dictionary definition, right? Observability, you know, to observe is to see, to notice, right? So it means to be aware, as opposed to, again, our traditional approach to event management or monitoring, were really very, very singular. And so we were only aware of the dashboard. We were only aware of the green and the amber and the red. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's only one piece of a much larger paradigm, right?
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, so I do appreciate that. And I think that our listeners will love hearing this from a very, very practical perspective. This is still a fairly new topic. And as you know, on August 20th, DevOps Institute Skill Up Day is going to be entirely about observability, because I think that the topic is trending very quickly. It delivers, when done right, it delivers, I think, a different, right, and a better view in terms of what the environments are looking like. But I think more than that, it is going to be part of this new evolution. You know, we don't know what the new normal is going to look like. And so equipping the IT professional, particularly the developers, with the kind of tools and also a different way of thinking, I think is important. So before we wrap up, any last tips on getting started with observability?
Yes, sir. Quick things is, one thing which I want to call out is, think from the business perspective, point one. Second point is, how do you can think from the business perspective is, stop thinking from the dev perspective.
Yeah.
Ask questions which matters to the business rather than to the developers. Stop. As I said earlier, also stop dumping your logs in the large monolithic log files and saving it for no use, actually. Only have those logs, only have those records, which means not to you, but to business. And that is one way of moving towards the domain service observability. And the last but not the things is, you should notice how to separate observability not from your code, but from your domain logic. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. This has really been fantastic, Siddharth. And thank you so much for sharing your knowledge and your advice, because I think it's very, very valuable. Again, I so appreciate Siddharth Parikh joining us today, sharing about domain-oriented observability. It is Observability Month. So August is all about observability. So if you're listening, Siddharth is one of our ambassadors, so very much appreciate that. August 20th is DevOps Institute's monthly Skill Up Day, and this month it's going to be entirely about observability. Please go up to www.devopsinstitute.com, become a free member, register for observability or any of our future Skill Up Days. Again, Siddharth, thank you so much. For those of you that are listening, we are continuing to do our Humans of DevOps podcast, and I hope you stay safe and I hope you stay well. Thanks very much.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Humans of DevOps podcast. Don't forget to join our global community to get access to even more great resources like this. Until next time, remember, you are part of something bigger than yourself. You belong.